Or is it? I don't know. That people are crunching down on some delicious corn chips. Are they delicious?
Yeah.
Tio Pablo. Authentic corn tortilla chips. And their citrus chili. Are they spicy?
Yeah.
Are they too spicy?
No.
You guys are so lovely. Also, we're sponsored by Peter Galen's Wine Fight, which is amazing. Because coincidentally, it is my favourite wine. The sound is delicious. Honestly, it's so good, and it's such a good price, guys. That's all I know. But thank you very much to both of those amazing people for coming on board. Also, I want to say a very big thank you before we start to our producers. Alice Kirker and Todd Waters, they are amazing. We have them every month. And as you can see, it's split them apart, they're sitting separately. Anyway, this is the last one for the year, which is really exciting. It's Christmas soon, if that's your bag, which is when you do a lot of things then. I mean, I do. That's like my main favourite part of Christmas is the feast, right? It's ham. Bloody love a ham. By January, cater ham. Put that ham away from me. But we generally go and have Christmas at my aunt's house, which means there's a whole load of people there. And now, because I'm getting older, like a lot of my cousins and stuff are getting married and having babies and stuff like that. So I do the dishes quite often. But that's always fun. The word feast also made me think about when I was at, I want to say intermediate school, we did a medieval feast as part of and we had it in like the school hall, and we decorated it like medieval styles. And I piped in my class on a recorder. And boy, oh boy, was I cool. I thought I was a literal. And I also played the judge in a little skit we did, a medieval court. Anyway, and everyone, all our parents like sat around on long tables and they kept their hands and that sort of thing. And there's also a medieval feast you can go to in Los Angeles, I believe. Or in the bright lights of the Gold Coast in Australia, where like people like joust on horses and you sit and you watch them and you eat food with everyone with your hands. Because that's what you did in the old days. Is that right? That was TPA. I was just saying it because you're a bit older. Anyway. Good sport, good sport. Anyway. They're all beautiful. God, I'm in love with all of them. And they're all going to come up and tell a story around the theme, which is, if you didn't hear, feast. So we're going to kick right in, I reckon. Let's get this party rolling. Our first speaker tonight is going to join me on this comfortable-looking chair. It's not. It's Alice Pierce, please. Hey Alice.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm real good.
You're real good?
Yep, I've messed up the carpet. That's always a good way to start things.
Yep, but I reckon that's going to be the lowest point. So, funny Alice, what do you, this is a question I like to ask, very cheesy, so stupid. But what do you put on your customs form when you come back into the country as your like occupation?
Ooh. That's a really good question. I like to change it up every time because I like to think that the person who sits there and goes through, I imagine there's a person who sits there and goes through all the custom forms, but actually probably there isn't when I really put that.
One person going,
like, ooh,
teacher.
She's coming back through. Well, she went through on Sunday. She's coming back now. So I like to change it just in case there is just one person looking at it. He'll be like, oh my god, this girl has done like 20 journals. Yeah, so also because I do a lot of different jobs, so
either she's really unreliable.
Yeah, right. A lot of strings here about it.
So what are your strengths?
Well, sometimes the first time I ever travelled internationally, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to put down a face painter. So count me face painters before internationally, let's be honest. I'm never travelling for acting reasons, but you know, I take holidays too, so sometimes chuck in there.
Long
holidays. Very long holidays. Yeah, I'm a year off sometimes. Yeah, the producer, that's a fun one. I started chucking in there, I don't really know what it means, but it sounds decent. It's like, I produce things. You know, I can produce a sandwich. That's the kind of producer I want in my life. Exactly. You know, you can make something happen, you can produce.
Exactly.
Yeah, so mostly I just pick fun words that could sound like a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this holiday season, do you have anything you're doing that's exciting?
This holiday season I'm hosting Christmas, which is like a little bit terrifying, but also very excited.
I did that last year for the first time.
Was it okay?
It was fine.
Good, because I'm very nervous.
I drank a lot of Peter Gale's wine. But it was actually fine. Yeah, you'll be great.
Cool, yeah, so that's, I'm like having these weird moments where I'm like, should I get a turkey or a chicken? Which is like I thought I'd never had
before. Oh. Or a ham, like what
are you? Sorry, yes, definitely should have come to
the I did that last year and my mum and my auntie brought all the food, so I didn't actually have to.
Would they like to come to my Christmas?
Yeah.
Sorry, myself.
Exactly.
Mine.
Is there anything you want to say before you get your story started?
I did have a moment today when I was going through all my emails, making sure I was all nice and organised, and I was reading a lovely brief from Todd, and I'm like, man, I've got a little bit off thing. So I'm just proviso. I guess when I was trying to write stuff about this, there was this one thing that kept coming up, and I thought, this is what I need to address. So that's what I've addressed.
Awesome. I love it, and I cannot wait to hear what it is.
Yeah.
Alice Pierce. Oh, sorry.
No, no.
Do you want to?
You go. You go.
No, you go.
Just
so much talent. Yeah. Alice Pierce, run.
Okay guys, so as Donna's already said, my name is Alice and I'm here today because I have a banana phobia. This was something that took me quite a long time to come to terms with as well, you know, because I actually come from quite a long line of food enthusiasts. My family are very, very big on food. It's hard to have a discussion with someone in my family without them bringing up what they've just eaten, which is usually something that's been eaten quite recently. And all of our emails usually contain a line at the end saying, this is what I'm having for dinner. It's very important information in my family. My granddad, who fought in World War II and was captured in a prisoner of war camp for several years, kept a diary for the entire time he was there that literally just listed everything he was doing. We're big on food. My mum is the kind of person who genuinely likes lentils. My sister is famous amongst her friends for being able to eat breakfast, a second breakfast, morning tea, 11 Z's lunch, afternoon tea, and follow it up quite happily with a three-course meal. The best way to describe it, I guess, is that my family won't leave the house without taking at least two different forms of snacks. So it was pretty unheard of for someone within the family to even dislike a certain type of food, so they're terrified of it. But I was. I mean, we did pick up on it at first. I definitely always ate food with the same gusto that the rest of my family did. I mean, people who know me well will know I quite often have a little like Joker chocolate smile going on. And the stains on my clothes are very usually a good diary of what I've eaten. I'm pretty sure this earring actually has a little bit of curry on it. At high school, social studies was the period after lunch, and it was a period less about learning and more about being this very important time when my best friend lived would have to like despairingly pull bits of sandwich from my ear and like get the marmite out of my eyebrow. So, you know, it seemed like I was a bit foodie too. But the giveaway maybe should have been that I was definitely a lot pickier than the rest of my family. I wasn't that into exotic cheeses, I couldn't get on board with seafood, I didn't like tomatoes or mushrooms. I know, I was a terrible child. But as I got older, my taste buds did mature, and now I kind of eat most of those things pretty regularly. I mean, I'm not having like lobster and cream cheese for breakfast anymore. You know, I'm getting there. Except for this one thing, bananas. I feel about bananas the way that I imagine a scientist feels about a climate change denialist. Disappointed, affronted, and kind of just genuinely quite afraid that they might get me killed. You know that feeling when you're brushing your teeth and you have your tonsils or the bit that is it the soft bit back in your mouth and you're like, that's good. Sorry, it's a terrible noise. That's how I feel about bananas. I don't like the way they look, I don't like the way they taste, I don't like the way they smell, I don't like the texture, I don't like their skin, I don't like anything about them. So yeah, to revise what I said earlier, it was obviously pretty obvious from a young age that I didn't like them. My first memory of a banana was taking a bite and projectile vomiting. My next memory was being about 8 and walking through the supermarket and getting to the fruit section and having to hold my breath and sprint. That was an ongoing thing for quite a while, but very, very fit. Very fit of banana phobia. My dad used to eat bananas in the car. Delightful thing to do to a child with a banana phobia. Thank you, Dad. And when he was finished, he would just drop the skin back in the back seat, right next to my leg. And then get real confused when his poor daughter was trying to climb out of the moving vehicle. So yeah, it started to become apparent something was going on there. But I guess we didn't really realise quite how intense this phobia was until I was in intermediate. I had a friend who wanted to test the so-called fear of bananas, which is kind of a massive understatement, really. So she started trying to mush a banana into my face. I know, a great friend, right? Really picked her. Probably not schoolmates. And I don't really know what best way I describe it, I guess, would be that this kind of haze of banana rage and terror came over. And I ran out of the room, and there was like a little locker area outside the classroom, and I found her bag, I dug through it, I pulled out her lunchbox, I ran all the way down to the long jump pit, I dug a hole, and I buried it. Now, sort of immediately after I'd done that, I went, wow, that was a bit of an overreaction. I didn't pick it back up, she never got a lunchbox back. But it was a really important step for me in realising, wow, bananas really do have quite a strange effect on me. That turned me into a bit of a psychotic lunatic, in fact. And so by the time I was 17 and I had several of these kind of run-ins with these yellow-eyed demons, I was like, something must be done, we can't go on like this. So I got a job at a juice bar. Fresh hell for me. You know, I got to earn a bit of money, that was good. And I also got to try and make myself be in a room with these things that used to just look at me from the banana shelf. And actually, guys, it went okay. Granted, the first year I was there, I spent a lot of time holding my breath, and my boss very kindly had to buy me a little pair of yellow gloves that I would wear whenever I had to touch them, because I wouldn't like to go, you know, skin to skin. Anyway, so that worked out pretty well. That got me through a lot of things. And by the time I left the juice bar, I was actually all good with being in a room with a whole bunch of them. And I could even have a tiny little bit of smoothie that went up. Thanks, I know, massive progress. Thank you, Marianne, that's huge news. Wasn't all smooth sailing. One time we found a moldy banana under the fridge. I literally had to leave and go home. Or the time that my colleague decided to test this apparent banana fear of mine. I know, a recurring theme. For me, best people. And he chased me around the store with this banana. He ended up pinned to the wall with a knife against his back. I just want to point out that this banana haze is a very real thing, guys, and please don't test it, because I really can't be held accountable for my actions. He's still alive, so that's great. But other than that, it was mostly a pretty great success. And after I left the juice bar, I was really determined to continue along the successful road I was on and completely integrate bananas into my life.
Yeah.
So I started this thing that I called Monday Morning Banana Training. I'm mental, but it's fine. Where I put myself in a situation where I had to interact with bananas. I got real good at some things. I can stand in a room with a banana. Check that off. Everybody listens at home and tries to make a check. I'm sorry. I could hold a banana in my hand. I could put one in my supermarket trolley. I would always take it back out, but it could go in a room. Drink a banana milkshake, I could drink a banana smoothie, all of which had to have chocolate in them as well, but I could do it. I can't do banoffee pie, I'm sorry. I know, I'm sorry, it's an affront to all the banana lovers. I threw a whole one out, I'm a terrible person. There's raw banana on them, guys. Very good at eating bananas, and I developed an unhealthy obsession with the little banana Eskimo lollies. I'm really into them. Very confusing when you have banana phobia, people don't understand. And basically, I'm here today because I'm very proud to be able to say that I now no longer have to run screaming from the room when I see a banana. It's a huge achievement for me. I do still have to pick them up with whatever is not my hand. Some very kind person who may or may not be here tonight put one on my desk the other day and I had to remove it with a tea towel. Put your pants on. But I'm much better. I've been on a long distance flight to Canada and a guy in the same aisle as me, I kid you not, an hour after we took off, ate a banana. I didn't scream and I didn't ask to move seats and he kept it. He kept the little skin and the little pouch of it was poking out, was looking at me. And he kept it the whole flight. You know, they come back, they're like, do you have any rubbish? She's like, no. And I'm like, bitch, you do. So I'm feeling really proud about that, and that's why I'm here today, just to let you know how proud I'm feeling. And just think, anyone else out there who has a weird phobia, because I have a friend who fucking hates watermelon. We run through that fruit section together, you know, we get through that together. So if you've got one of those, if you're like, man, nobody understands this, it is all good. You can be at whatever stage of that phobia that you're at, you can have your little banana gloves, or you can be running hysterically from the room. You're sweet. Everything is fucking terrifying if you look at it close enough. Have you ever had a good look at a starfish? Guys, they're weird. If you ever near a starfish again, because let's be honest, it doesn't come up that often, but if you are, take a good look at the underside, because I don't know what's going on there, but it's not natural. It's okay to be afraid. That's fine. And to any of you out there who have a friend who has a phobia, and if it's a weird phobia and you're like, fuck, that doesn't seem legit, here's an idea. Maybe just take them at their word for a take. Because if the banana haze is real, I can promise you the watermelon haze is real. And any other kind of haze is real. And you never know who might be holding a knife. One massive fan. Great to have you. They taste like deliciousness.
do you like banana cake?
I think, you know how sometimes people make banana cake and there's like a hunk of banana in it? Can't do that.
Yeah.
But if I can find a little bit of the piece in sort of all cake, no banana. Rocking.
Yeah. Because I love banana cake.
Yeah.
Does that mean, though, no, because remember, I don't know, maybe it might be a generation above, but me, not you. oh boy, I am. you used to get antibiotics that tasted like banana. Did anyone else get those?
Yeah, there was a cough medicine.
Yeah.
When I was little, projectile vomited that.
That was disgusting.
Yeah, they thought I was really allergic to it, and then when I got older, they gave me something that had the same key ingredient, and they're like, oh, what was in that? Yeah, it took a while.
Yeah, that stuff is so gross. Yeah. I can still, like, smell it.
Mm.
Like, it's like they went, you know what, this tastes really gross. We should flavor it with something that tastes also gross, but it tastes double gross. For children!
Yeah. Who doesn't like to ruin a small child's life?
Exactly.
No one does.
No one. Friendly sarcastic. Is there a word for someone that is banana phobic?
I think there is, because I've actually bizarrely come across one other person in my life who has also got a banana phobia, and he knew he was very like he basically been diagnosed, like it was
right.
In full level, like
yeah.
He knew all the words and yeah. Kind of had steps that he did, and I suppose the same as banana trends. So like he's crazier than me, but really.
Yeah.
And there is, but I cannot remember what it is. It's a different thing.
There's definitely, yeah, there's words for like, there's one for a phobia of a duck staring at you.
Well, I do not
and I remember finding that out and being like, that's the coolest thing ever. It's not cool for the person who is staring at them, but anyway, yeah. Fun fact, do you have anything that you want to promote? I've recently did a little solo kind of web series, kind of vlog about a girl who, she's also got issues. She's not afraid of bananas, but she's kind of afraid of life. So she gives up being human and decides to be a dinosaur instead. So it's her adventures of trying to transition into being a dinosaur.
Amazing. Where can you find it?
You can find it on Facebook and on YouTube, and it's called Anxiety Rex. Brilliant. Amazing. Are you on Twitter or anywhere else?
I'm not on Twitter. But I am on Instagram. You can find me at Easy Breezy Video Cover Girl, where I imitate the mini covers.
That also sounds amazing.
Yeah, yes.
Thank you very much for your bravery tonight, Alice.
Yes. Thank you for being here with me, everyone. Really appreciate you all taking this support network role for me and really listening to my fears.
Thank you, Alice. Yes.
Thank you.
Is Marianne Infante. Do I say that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How cool is that last name?
It's pretty cool. I'm actually of a distant royal family. Apparently the old Spanish royalty were called Infanta, but for some reason we became plebs and became Infante. So, down there.
Infante.
Boom.
Where is it from? Where is it?
Spain?
Yeah, I had that one.
Yeah. 110% Filipino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't sound like it, but.
Were you born here?
No. I've spent half my life in the Philippines and half here because I moved when I was 11 and I'm 22, for anyone asking. I wasn't.
Very, very cool. And you're related to her. Do you know, like...
No, I didn't. It was just more like I was telling my sister, I think you might be adopted, and she was like, no, I'm not, but I'm a princess. And I was like, where did you get that fact? She was like, I Googled it.
And it's true.
Must be. Google is always right.
Yeah. And,
Graham,
what do you write on your customs form when you come into the country?
I've only ever had to do that once. Is that really uncool?
No.
I wrote down student. I was so tempted to write poor student, but student, sorry, read it out.
Down here, got me.
got it.
Were you a student?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I was on my secondments in London from UT. Hashtag shout out UT.
Studying.
Performing arts.
Yeah.
Bachelor, performing arts acting.
Very cool, very cool. And what did you do in London?
I'm a big fan of Leia Salonga, who was the first Filipino to sing Miss Saigon and Les Mis, and I'm a huge fan of Les Mis. So I hunted down her singing tutors and I sang with them. I'm not that great, but I did it.
Amazing!
Yeah. I dreamed the dream and I did it.
Do you
want to? No, the podcast is not ready for that. Oh, we shut down. Really
is
quick.
Is she still alive?
Yeah. I think she's like the same age as my mom, and she's beautiful, and everyone tells me, like, oh my god, you should totally be like, you could be cast as her daughter, and I was like, girl, don't do that. But it is a dream.
is musical theater your bag?
I want it to be, but I don't think music really likes me.
I love music. But they don't reciprocate the feelings.
I bet.
With
guys.
Yeah.
We'll hear about it soon. What have you been up to recently?
Very poor actor who is not really acting at this point. I'm just poor. The whole year, I've been very fortunate for like the first 7 months of the year after graduating from the whole acting degree thing. I've been very fortunate to do, I think, like three shows, and I've also been stage managing, so if any of you are putting on a show, I'm a great stage manager, and I will manage your life for you, and you will not be sorry. Thank you. That's my promotion before mine.
Amazing. Is there anything you
want to
say about your story before you start?
I'm going to talk about feasts, but mainly like food, because obviously food is what you feast on, so...
Is it? great. Sounds awesome.
Awesome.
Let me take it away, Marianne and Philippa.
Thank you. I just want to start by saying I love bananas. What a big hunk of banana, but yeah.
Thank you.
Asked me to come and speak about food and food, so I was like, yes, no hesitation, like, I'm there. And then half an hour later, I was freaking the fudge out. See what happened there? I can really talk about food, like, all day. Like, I can talk about potatoes and kumar for at least 35 minutes. Like, I do not kid. Amen, sister. But yeah, like, I grew up, like, constantly surrounded by food, and, like, I get it, you grow up, there's food every day because you have to eat or else you die. But my family literally takes it to, like, a whole new level, and I don't know if this is, like, for every Filipino family, but it's not about them, it's about me. my parents are both really amazing cooks, as you can tell. But yeah, and my mother was a nutritionist dietitian, but, like, she literally let me eat anything. She got me like greens and 5+ a day, and she was like, yeah, Macca's, go, yeah. But she'll be like, always in moderation. But then every time I go home, they were literally, while cooking breakfast, we will be discussing what we're having for dinner. And while having cooked breakfast, Dad will be asking me what I want for lunch tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, cool, that's great. And like, Christmas is happening soon, like, don't even get me started. So, but I will start. So, like, we do this thing where our tradition in my family is we wait for midnight, and before midnight, we have this thing called Noche Buena, which is like the main Christmas dinner in preparation for Christmas. I'm being serious. So you have a big feast, and then by the time you eat and have like a food coma, and then you pack up, you count down 10, 9, 8, bam, Merry Christmas, and it's Christmas. You open your present, you sleep, you wake up, and it's Christmas breakfast. Right? By the time you finish that, you go to Christmas lunch, and then all Christmas picnic if you're feeling organised. And then once you clean it up, it's Christmas dinner on Christmas Day. And then after that, it's Christmas supper. And, like, that's how you dictated time in my house. You're laughing, but it's actually so hard. I'm constantly lost in time because I'm constantly eating. And then Mum's like, oh, you've gotten a bit... wide, big. I'm like, well, you can't have it both ways, Mum. I can't eat and drum at the same time. Like, it's just not possible. And but anyway, I recently did this new thing in my life where I joined a dating app. Yes, I am single, guys. Bookmark that. But anyway, I deleted it like 2 days after. No chance for you. There was this one guy on his about. He said, "I want to take you to Christmas dinner." Point face. And in my head, I was like, one, nice eyes, but two, Christmas dinner, like singular. Like one Christmas dinner. Okay. Three, this food. So okay, swipe right, and we matched. And I was like, we're so meant to be. And then I asked him, because like it's like Bumble, you have to like message first to make a move, because you know, go woman. And I was like, so when's Christmas dinner? And when you see that bubble, and you're like, ah, what's he gonna say? I mean, fudge. Okay, fuck. And there's that dot, and he goes, I guess Christmas Day. And I was like, duh. Obviously, that relationship was going nowhere. But I forget, like, I'm so lucky. It's literally Christmas every day in the Infante family house. But anyway, speaking of failed relationships, food, like, has actually really helped me build relationships in my life. While it strengthens my family's relationship, like, eating is, like, a hobby. Cooking, eating, shitting, I don't know. But no, seriously, I make friends, like, through food. Like, when I was auditioning for Unity, on my first day, I scoped out who I liked in the callbacks of the audition. And then the next day, I bought a whole packet of mint chocolate biscuits and a full packet of Fruit Bursts. And I shit you not, all flavors, girl, because I don't know who was going to catch in that audition callback. But like every single person that has taken a mint chocolate biscuit out of my packet, they graduated with me. And they are still friends. I think some of his friends, so lucky them. Clearly got the banana flavor one, so. But yeah, like food's never let me down. Like I make friends, and like food. I've realised this, it was like a really long conversation with myself while I'm eating food. I was like, food is your friend. Like, I mean, food's definitely been like my absolute friend. And I realised how similar my human friends are to my food friends. Like, in terms of like the effort and impact in my life and how they like mentally and physically supported me, you know. So I've got a wee story. I'm gonna call food cheesecake. So I've named foods a specific cheesecake. So this story is called Heartbreak. Starring cheesecake. It's really passive aggressive, so don't even know. I love the reaction team, I love for it. Okay. One day you find yourself feeling lonely and searching, and you don't know who's around the corner, you don't quite know what you're doing or what you're looking for, and then one day you're crying, just wanting some sort of affection. And then you say, you're like, fudge this. Or fuck this, depending where you're, you know. And I'm like, I'm an independent, strong woman, and I am enjoying life. So you go to this new cafe, and you meet the most beautiful cheesecake you've ever seen in your life. She introduces herself to you. Hi, I'm Cheesecake. And you treat yourself with cheesecake, and cheesecake is totally there for you. Like, you just vibe in. And bam, one day you meet a boy, and you get yourself in a date. And then you get all shy around cheesecake and you ignore cheesecake a bit because for some reason you think enjoying cheesecake's company is going to embarrass you or put off this new guy you're trying to impress, and cheesecake is probably feeling a little bit neglected and you're probably neglecting cheesecake a bit because like you're suddenly too busy with this new guy because he's got all your attention. But you know, cheesecake sits there in the fridge patiently waiting for you for the evenings when you're home alone and you're bored and you're not preoccupied by this new guy. And then, bam, you're going steady with the new guy. You're starting to open up more about who you are. And you're even telling this new guy, I love cheesecake. Like, she's such a huge part of my life. And you even let him, you know, hang out with cheesecake. And suddenly you're sharing the joy that cheesecake, you know, adds to your life. And then you're in the serious stage of the relationship with this boy. This new guy understands who you are. And, you know, you have your ups and downs because you have to have the ups and the downs. And one night you have a fight and you're crying, but you're like, I still love him. And he expresses his apologies and sorry by bringing you flowers, because people don't do that nowadays, and you show them I love flowers. and he also brings cheesecake along. And then you guys end up sorting your issues, and you end up talking about your feelings, and you're all good again, and you go back to your own cheesecake. And then it gets a bit rocky again in the relationship with your boy. You don't quite know what to do. You go back to that cafe where you first met Cheesecake, and you see her, and she sits with you while you play with your fork. And then, you know, he's just staring at Cheesecake, questioning whether the relationship you're in is worth it, and maybe am I wasting my time? And Cheesecake just sits there, listens to you, comforts you in between, you know, your breakouts and tears. But then you distance yourself from Cheesecake because this boy has become the priority in your life for some fucking reason. And then, boom, you break up. He admits he no longer loves you. And suddenly, you forget your self-worth and you forget you're fucking beautiful. And then you're staring at the wall till like midnight, crying, tears streaming down your face. You go through the different stages of denial. And you're strolling down the supermarket, avoiding all the snacks you and your ex used to hang out with. And like, you feel lost. And then suddenly you find yourself in the chill section, the zone, the ice cream territory. And you know who's waiting there to ease your heartache? Sara Lee, cookies and cream Bavarian cheesecake. You see her and you smile, and Cheesecake reminds you that life will be okay again. It's about to get really cheesy. Thank you for both laughing, guys. But anyway, you realize that food is your friend. And this is my connection with the friends and food thing. And friends, I just checked my mic, that was great. but friends will feed your heart with love and joy. So don't forget that. Friends and food are there for you. So that's how I connect the friends and food thing. And you know what's even better? Enjoying good food with your best friends. That's a fucking party and a feast. Boom. With the chocolate, but it's actually raisin thing, because that will help you, that's how you will be killed.
Do you mean when someone's like...
Yeah, it's like you think, oh my god, triple chocolate cookies, and bam, fucking raisins.
Is there anything more disappointed? It's like a chocolate chip cookie, and you're like,
yeah,
and
you're
like,
yeah, no. Yeah. So I don't want that wrinkly shit in my mouth. The texture, I cannot
handle. I love food too. Food's the bomb. what do you think about, there's that thing about, like, you can just get a pill that's like your meals, and you just have to take a pill through, like, that sounds awful, right? Because half the joy of, like, eating food is, like,
Experience. The sensation.
And the taste, right?
The whole eating with your hands thing, that's sort of, that does happen. Like, that's how Filipinos eat, like, 99% of the time with your hands. Because it's part of the sensory feelings, you know, the smell, the taste, and the touch. Like, we do this thing, like, I'm actually having Christmas in the Philippines this year, and, like, I can just, I should, you know, it's probably going to be, like, a massive banana leaf and, like, a massive... Who wants to do dishes? So, like, I know you love it, but yeah, it's like, you know, everyone eats from the same spread.
That's amazing. Yeah. My friend James Roque, who's a stand-up, who's Filipino, he talked about a Filipino delicacy that's an egg.
Balo?
That's it.
I don't know. I
can you explain?
Okay, so I think it's like... The part where you realize I'm not actually a Filipino. no, but it's like semi-fertilized egg, or duck egg or something. And like, my mum loves it, but I can just handle like this soupy part of it.
It's like a delicacy, right? It's
yeah, like people like lose their shit over it. Yeah. Mum like, cannot wait. Okay, yeah. Mum, I can. But like, it's a thing. Snoopy pie's actually really good, but like my mum and my dad actually eats the whole thing, even like the furry little thing.
I love that whole thing about like different cultures to something, you know, that is a delicacy, but you know, something that we eat is probably disgusting.
And you kind of want to be proud of it because like it can really set you apart from everyone else, but yeah. I'm like, mum, stop talking about it. No one wants to hear about your. Yeah.
So you would, for Christmas Day, you go food, which is what we do as well. But
it'd be called food day, not Christmas
food day.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. But my mum and dad's like aggressively Catholic, so like it's like Christmas, because it's about Jesus Christ.
What?
Yeah, I get reminded every time. I'm like, food! And it's like, no, let's pray before you touch the food. I'm like, oh, okay.
No one's looking.
No.
Amazing. So you're going home to, well.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going home for 5 weeks. And it's the first time I'm having Christmas in the Philippines since I was like 10. I know.
Awesome.
What the hell? I'm gonna like food coma, like 101. I'm probably not gonna make it back.
Is there anywhere in Auckland that you can try
Filipino
food?
Yes, yes. There's one on Cape. Oh my god, this is like the promotion part, right? they'll be so proud of me. So yeah, there's one on Cape Road. I think it's called Toro Toro, which means point, literally point, and you get it. Yeah, and it's really, really good. But there's a better one in I don't get it. There's a better one. I'm a comedian, but I don't know it. It's amazing. Glen Eden, there's one called Gold Ribbon, and there's actually a food franchise in the Philippines, and it's called Golden Ribbon, and it's amazing. Like,
awesome.
I walked in there, and there's literally 50 Filipinos in there, so you know it's good.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had a great time off.
Awesome.
Mm.
I can't wait to try it. Do you have anything coming up that you want to promo? No. I'm sorry, I asked.
No.
Or
please hire me, because I'm... kind of funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes funny, always short. Sorry, it was like a thing.
It's a good tag.
Yeah. I saw that on the dating app as well. Someone was like, sometimes funny, sometimes tall. I mean, always tall. I was like, oh my god, same, but not really.
And social media, are you in your...
No. I've got Instagram.
Yeah.
But I probably won't accept your request on it.
Oh,
I'm very private. So you have to be friends with me. I'll be downstairs with a drink.
Awesome. Thank you
so much.
Our next guest tonight is the Barefooted Adam Rowley.
Hello. I turned up wearing not this, and then I was like, hey mom, that's my mom in the front row, how do I look? And she was like, I was wearing these nice like boho pants and a black t-shirt and a bowler hat, and she was like, I'm not into it, so I had to go put on a dress shirt.
Well, it's good to know that you still do what your mom tells you.
I do. My mom's my number one fan, and I want to keep her coming to watch me. She always pays the tickets. I know, I just cried, actually.
Is there a reason why you're not wearing, I was going to say feet, but...
Because it's summertime and it's hot and I'm allowed.
It's a nice day, right?
Yeah, it's a really nice day. Shoes, I hate shoes. They make me feel like a pot plant. I have this kind of like very confined, and I hate winter because I have to wear shoes, and so summertime I don't. So I put on like suspenders and like a vest, but I draw a line of shoes.
I fully respect that.
I get kicked out of restaurants a lot.
Yeah. For reals?
Yeah, because they have like hot food and knives and shit.
Oh, that's right. Now, New Zealand's the ones I see you walk into a restaurant and get and people are like, oh.
Yeah, but Auckland's not really New Zealand, is it?
So where are you from?
I was born in America. I grew up in Cambodia, and then I Stratford in Tabernacle.
Awesome.
That's where I'm from, I guess.
Yeah.
And that woman and that man.
That is exactly what I wanted to
one old dude who you called up earlier being old, that's my dad. That's where I'm from.
What do you write on your form when you come in?
I'm a student primarily, even though it's a lie now. Well, is it? I don't know. I still am learning shit.
We're all learning shit.
And then they expect me to be poor so I don't have to wear shoes.
Perfect. You've got it all worked out, mate.
Yeah, sometimes I write actor if I'm feeling really up myself that day.
Yeah. Yeah. So you are studying or you're not really anymore?
Not really anymore. I'm doing it at our Molly class, which is once a week on a Tuesday night, and this class is a full-time course, so I can get a student allowance for it.
Awesome.
And it's free. I'm not paying anything.
At UT?
No, it's at the Poly Theatre out west.
Oh, cool! I did say to him today at UTech, that was cool, but I would go to Topo. Topo is the cool. Have you ever been out to Topo Theatre in Newland?
Yeah, it's shit.
So cool.
I have to build it. Cool way.
That is cool. That's where I met you before.
Oh, thank Christ.
I saw you out of context and I'm so sorry, that's so embarrassing. So,
what did you come see me doing?
I didn't. I was working. I was also writing with Amber and Ty Boy, who runs the theatre. Yeah. If you get a chance to go out there, it's a very cool theatre. They do some really cool work. Props to them.
It's not promo time yet.
It's not, but that was a little one because I like them a lot. What have you been doing lately?
It's that end of year time when I feel like I'm doing so many things that I'm not accomplishing anything.
Yeah.
Like, my energy's real frayed. I'm helping a friend of mine who works for a company called Mind Over Manor who do, like, professional development workshops about neurodiverse young people. And also, we've just developed an anti-bullying workshop we're trying to get into schools next year. So I'm, like, helping her call schools and stuff and being like, hey, we're cool. Do you want us to come to your school and teach about how to be nice to each other?
That's very cool. Yes. Are you getting good response?
No!
Oh.
It's exam time and no one wants to talk to me.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You're cute, I promise.
You've got to get in now for next year, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm also building a tiny house, though, so that's a win.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that. I'm sorry. I want a tiny house.
Okay.
Me too.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, a tiny house. I won a poetry competition and I won $1,000, and with that money I bought a trailer and putting a house on it, which is a cool story. And then I'm just like scrounging materials and stuff and I'm starting to build things.
That's so cool. Yeah. Wait, would you like put it somewhere or would you just like
probably. I'm no Rollins. No, you can't pin this shit down. So it's good that it's on wheels.
There's a whole lot of questions around plumbing and stuff. I'm
with you, mate.
Yeah.
Composting toilet is the shit, though. Did you know you can just use it as a compost bin? Like, my mates have a composting toilet, and they, like, cook a chicken, and then put the chicken carcass in the toilet. And just close the lid, because the cats will get otherwise.
Okay, so it composts in your toilet. So
well,
you pee on it and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought your pee would be too acidic, etc. The
pee is the smelly part, so they've just upgraded. They have this one that, like, if you're peeing, like, because your pee stream generally goes forward, it, like, goes into a separate container, and then you just put it directly on the garden. But you don't have to have that. You can just all do all the waste into a bucket, basically, and then leave it for a year, and then that's the shit.
Really. That's the I'm not telling you that anymore.
Once.
Really happy for you. It's honestly very cool.
Come to my house and shit in the bucket.
difficult. I respect that.
Yeah, thanks.
Is there anything you want to say before you launch into this work?
Yes, it's Thanksgiving today. And it also happens to be the anniversary of us adopting my brother and my parents' wedding anniversary. So, yeah, everyone's been going on about Christmas, and I'm like, yeah, but today is actually the day of like a feasting holiday.
Do you celebrate it?
Yeah, well, we celebrated it all over the world, so yes.
Are you both American?
We hate to say that out loud.
Oh, yes, I mean, we're all very sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, right. Again, I forgot that again. Right.
Yeah, so I have two passports, so that's good.
Okay, never mind, it's a show off, mate.
So they crossed the Atlantic and then they found the landmass and they're like, this is definitely India. And then they encountered some like vaguely Asian looking savages and they were like, they're probably Indian. And so they called them the Indians. And that's how America was found, which isn't India. But they still called it. So that's how the Indians got called the Indians, is because they thought that there was India. And then they were like, hey, this is a novel concept. Why don't we befriend the natives rather than slaughter them? Wait for it, spoiler alert, over here in the front row. So they like made friends with them long enough to like plant some shit and grow some shit and harvest some crops, which is a really long time to not kill a whole bunch of brown people who don't talk your language. And then they had a big feast together in celebration of their great restraints, like, you know, community and solidarity, woo! And they had a party, and that was, and gave thanks, and that was the first Thanksgiving. And then, in a minute, genocide. Anyway, so Thanksgiving is about, like, yeah, that's all we want. So that's the first Thanksgiving story that I have stashed in my brain somewhere. I have another one from before I was born, which is my mother grew up in... Well, her family live in Connecticut, which is also New England, kind of same location, if not the same time frame, just the previous story. And they were making the clam chowder in the kitchen, all of the women together, because that's where the women belong. And Mum was doing potatoes, so she washed and peeled potatoes. And all the women were chat-chatting, and Mum was like, hey, so I've just got an idea. Why don't we slice the potatoes instead of dicing them for the clam chowder this year? It was like a minute of like dead silence, and then everyone just resumed what they were doing, and then she said nothing, and she was like, I guess I'm fucking Dyson. That was my mum's kind of growing up environment, and I resulted somehow. Anyway. Another one, I was like 2 or 3, so I don't know if I remember it or if like mum has just been like, this amazing thing happened when he was like 3. like, memory is like that. It's so malleable. I don't know if I remember it or I just visualize my childhood when my mother was speaking enough times that I think I remember it. Anyway, we were sitting around the table having Thanksgiving, and I wanted more stuffing, so I asked for more of the bread that the turkey ate. And I said, like the sum total of that anecdote was that I was cute once. Thank you. Good luck. I'll keep you. When I was six, we moved from... I grew up until I was six in Georgia, which is like red states, fucking like dirt and like deer hunting racism. And that's all it's there. And then we moved when I was six up the east coast of Connecticut, where my mother's family are from. And then it was like New England, right? And I lived in a house with my grandmother. It was overlooking a river, and you look across, and they like there's a seaport museum. They build huge replica sailing ships from like the original sailing ships that were coming to America. Like, one was called the Mayflower. My grandmother's house was on like the lip of this huge patch of a couple of hectares of empty farmland, which is like. Mr. Connecticut is like the Parnell of New England. Like, it's like rich white people being fancy all the time. So the fact that it was just like empty land was kind of novel. And the Fish family were all dotted around the edges, so we called it the Fish Bowl. Not only because it was a bowl and surrounded by fish, but because everyone just kind of peered at you through their like windows all of the time. Like, it would be like, hey, so Sharon, I saw you. Like a visitor today from like 3:15 to like 3:28. Like, what are they doing? So everyone's kind of staring at me. And then one Thanksgiving memory I have was, like I said, the clam chowder, the famous clam chowder. We were having that. Every man in that family is named either Bob or some variation of William. So it's like Will, William, Bill, Billy, etc. And so Billy and his bills made the and they went out core hogging, which is like you go kind of thigh deep in the Mystic River mud and like feel around with your toes for these big clams. And then you pick the clams up out of the mud and then put them in this like floating basket and then wash them and make clam chowder. Last time I was there, I was like, Grandma, can I go? My grandma's passing up, but when she was alive, I was like, Grandma, can I go core hogging? And she's like, no, you can't. Because the mud is full of glass. Because pollution, so you'd probably cut yourself to smithereens, and if you successfully got a claim, you couldn't eat it anyway because pollution, so that's a cool thing that humanity did to the world. But anyway, so we're having clam chowder from, like, the clams from the river up at Bob and Hope's house and playing croquet. That's how vastly different, like, deer hunting, and then, like, croquet. And then we moved to Cambodia. So, next Thanksgiving memory, it was very recently after we moved to Cambodia, and my parents worked with nearly exclusively disabled peoples, and one dude, Konkuan, I remember three things from this Thanksgiving. One, the Cambodian people turned up with a massive vat of white rice, because you couldn't eat even turkey and gravy without rice. The second thing that I remember is that Konkuan is a deaf guy, and he was drunk as a skunk, and pumping the beats in the living room like as loud as he could and pressing himself against the speakers because he could feel the vibrations and trying to sing along to be like and dancing his heart out. I was like, mate, you know what's up. And then outside, the women on this a couple of women on this woven blue plastic mat had a whole bunch of crickets that were like this big, like locust type crickets, and they pulled the abdomen off, stuffed them with peanuts, put the abdomen back on and fried them in soy sauce for snack foods. Another Thanksgiving memory that I remember from Cambodia, like I said, is that Thanksgiving is the anniversary of us adopting my younger brother. And I was 10 at this point. We were sitting around a table with like a whole bunch of Cambodian government officials, me, my sister, my brother, my parents, and my brother's parents. And the Cambodian officials were telling us how much it was going to cost in bribe money for them to sign the papers for us to take my brother home. And a little like sweet little blonde 10-year-old me was like, bitch. I schooled these fucking like 40 to 70 year old Cambodian government officials on how inappropriate it was. They were asking us for that much bribe money after we spent 2.5 years of our life here trying to like you know, help the Cambodian community, and he's already my brother, really, I just need you to sign the paper so you can take him home, so, like, fuck you guys very much, like, take out the swimmers, and that's basically what I said, and they were like, fine, so, I came way the fuck down, and I was a sassy bitch. So then we moved to Stratford in Tuttenbury, which is like 4,000 people and like a huge sports arena and dairy cows, and that's it. And
go to the
we had. I was 11 then, so from that point onwards, I've got heaps of memories. But basically, like, we had 85 people at my house once. That was awesome. We did a bunch of crayfish. We had to, like, start hiring out halls so that we could, like, cater to enough people. It was awesome. We had last Saturday was our Thanksgiving meal. My dad made the best turkey ever. My mum didn't make pies. So I decided on the way in that not tomorrow and not the Friday that's coming, but the following Friday, Mum and I are going to make a bunch of pies and you're all invited to my mum's house. So you can find me on Facebook, Adam, David, Rowie, please come to my mum's house and we'll eat a whole bunch of pie. That'll be the shit. Before I finish, can we all sing happy wedding anniversary to you today with Sharon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Happy wedding anniversary.
So they wanted us to have different experiences of the world. And then we adopted my brother, and Bush was president. So it's not that bad.
And it's only got better.
There's a long way to go, right?
That was the right move. That was
that.
Great to me. So I'm glad that some people didn't know.
I did, and I thank you. And here's another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just can.
It's 9:40.
Thank you. Do clams bite?
Not in my experience. I also scuba dive sometimes, and they tend to, and I've seen them like alive underwater, and they tend to close before you're close enough to see. Be inside of them. And then close.
Cool. I was just thinking a few little seatsies are in the and
they'd
be like
they're very shy and they can't like see to
oh,
chase them.
That's exactly.
Legit.
Yeah.
Bit of behaviorist next time I'm coming back as a clam.
Yeah. Do you have anything you want to promote?
Next week on Friday, I'm in Socio. Is that here? I think I'm going to show here
lot
next
23.
Time.
No.
Oh, Lot 23.
Lot 23, which is also a great place.
Yeah, Lot 23 next Friday on the thing.
Cool.
Also, if you know any high school teachers who need an anti-bullying workshop, talk to me. Awesome.
Social media, Adam Rowie.
Adam David Rowie on Facebook and Adam Ant on Instagram.
Right.
That's it.
Cool.
Cool. Thank you very much. Thank you guys so much for coming along. So nice to meet you. This room is growing. and this is it. Great to have you guys all here. We are now taking a break until next year. We'll be back in February. So keep an eye on the old Facebook page, the water cooler. I think if you've bought tickets, you've probably signed up to the newsletter. But until then, be safe over these holiday times and look out for each other, alright?
Alright.